Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for i5 for the iPhone is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Hola, amigos. Welcome to March 2013 and also episode 30 of i5 for the iPhone. I'm Sarah Lane, and this is the show where we pick five of the best iPhone apps, news, tips, and tricks, and make sure you know about them. Ready? Yes? Okay. Let's go. Number one. So last weekend, a few friends and I took a little road trip out of town to visit our buddies and their very, very, very cute baby down in Southern California. And as you might imagine, we took lots of pictures. Pictures, pictures, pictures. And as it always is with a group of people taking a bunch of pictures of each other, we all wanted to share these pictures in a single place somewhere that everybody could have access to, look at the pictures, download the pictures, enjoy the pictures. I've got the perfect app for you to do just this, and it's called Cluster. So here's what you do. You download the app and tap the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner to start a new cluster. Give it a name, a location if applicable, then just start adding photos from your camera roll. When you're happy with your collection, you start adding friends. That part's really easy. Cluster can scan your iPhone contacts or your Facebook friends, and if they're not already Cluster users, you can invite them. Once your friends are part of the cluster, they can share their photos with the group too, and everybody can save shared photos to their local camera rolls. Now, if you don't have a specific event to share, that's fine. Cluster will do its best to group your photos by date. And if your friends share clusters with you, all those photos are right there in your feed. Now, you might remember an app called Flock. I talked about it way back in episode 5. That was so long ago. Cluster is the same idea, but I think it's more structured and, in my opinion, also easier to use. It solves the problem of fragmented photo collections, and it's free. Number two, we got an email from Dan Keller who writes, I recently bought a MacBook Air, which doesn't come with a remote like my old MacBook did. What's your recommendation for the best app that would allow me to control a keynote presentation? I don't mind paying for a great app. Well, Dan, I think you're in luck. And so is anybody else who builds presentations in Keynote. That's an Apple product. Because Apple makes a 99-cent app called Keynote Remote. That's exactly what you're looking for. Just link Keynote Remote to your main Keynote presentation, and away you go. You can choose portrait or landscape orientation and toggle presenter notes on or off. Even though the iPhone is basically a little supercomputer, it does work really well as a remote too. Hope that helps, Dan. Number three. Danny in Brady, Texas also wrote in with a little duh tip for the iPhone settings panel. He writes, for a long time, I had difficulty sliding the on and off buttons in my iPad and iPhone settings. Then I accidentally discovered that all you have to do is tap them. Duh! All right, now I have to admit, I didn't really know what Danny was talking about until I went to my settings, and I realized that, yes, many of our settings options are actually on-off sliders. I've always tapped them, but as Danny and possibly you may have noticed, if you want to slide them, it doesn't really work that well, even though they're technically sliders. There's not much to grab in the area. So if for any reason you've been really frustrated trying to toggle certain settings on or off and dragging has been a drag, try tapping instead. Tapping for serenity. Serenity now. Number four. Many of you watch my other iOS show here on the Twit Network, iPad Today. It's a great show. I know you love it. Hopefully you love it anyway. And if so, you know that I love my cooking and my recipe apps. I am not a good cook, but I am enthusiastic about it, and there are a lot of apps out there. But I don't think some of these apps work as well on an iPhone as an iPad because the screen's smaller, and food apps tend to be very visual. However, I do think Panna is worth a try. This app is free to download, although it doesn't really get you much beyond some recipe previews. Panna works on a magazine-based model. It's $5 to access individual issues of this magazine, or $15 per year for bi-monthly issues. So that's about 6 issues per year. Once you download an issue, you then unlock a handful of recipes, hours of video with step-by-step instructions by famous chefs. You can review your library via the issue or by recipe. You can filter your recipes by ingredient or chef or prep time, all sorts of stuff. And you can easily add ingredients for a recipe to your shopping list. This is where I think the iPhone really shines as that kitchen companion. HD video is nicer on my iPad, yes, definitely. But when I'm at the grocery store, I've always got this little guy with me, not always got the iPad. Now, I also love cooking shows, and Panda's video tutorials are really professional. They're really nicely done. So I've been airplaying them to my Apple TV in my living room to watch on a nice big screen. I prefer that to my iPhone. You might not all have that same solution, though, but I do think that's key for a recipe app like this, for me anyway. There's a ton of great info inside Panda, and if you're the type of person, you know, you find yourself throwing a magazine, cooking magazine into your shopping cart at the last minute when you're at the register, if you do that on a regular basis, Panda might be the perfect app for you. Finally, number five, let's finish off with a great little duh tip. So many duh tips this week from Paul, who points us to a Lifehacker article that'll help you navigate phone extensions and trees. So let's say you have a friend or a colleague or anybody you have to call frequently, and you need to not only dial their phone number, but then their personal extension or some other combination of numbers in order to reach the right person. Paul writes, you can actually set it up so the phone automatically dials your extension for you. When setting up a contact, just enter the number, followed by a comma, and then the extension. I assume you can do this for telephone trees too. If you want to dial tech support, and it's always option 2 and then 3, you can have the telephone number, comma 2, comma 3. Amazing. This makes my life so much easier. So just to be clear, this tip only works when you add a number to a contact. It's not just for one-off dialing. But think about all the potential contacts that you could apply this to. Doctor's office, the bank, drugstore, your wireless carrier. All examples of numbers you might call at least somewhat regularly that you could control a little better from the get-go. And in case of phone trees, one pause is one comma. But if you add a few different commas, you can navigate the phone tree. Yeah, sometimes they need you to take a little beat here and there. So you can make it your own. Loves it. Well, we hit 5, and that means we're out of time. Thanks for watching, everybody. If you'd like to auto-download this show every week, just hit the subscribe button at twit.tv/i5. That's where you can catch up on past episodes and find links to our featured apps, tips, and tricks, too. Email us questions, tips, and app ideas to i5@twit.tv. Leave us a voicemail at 614-ON-i5, or send us a video with an app review of your own. I'm Sarah Lane, and I'll see you next week on i5 for the iPhone.